First, though, let's go to our ageing population and all the complex demographic challenges that come with a society that's ageing gracefully and living longer than ever before. Today, the think tank Per Capita will release a major paper focused on those challenges and offering up some solutions. The figures are really quite staggering. By the year 2050, 1.8 million of us will be aged 85 or over. Emily Mullane is a research fellow at Per Capita and author of the report Still Kicking, I love that, Longevity and Ageing in Australia. Emily Mullane, good morning, welcome to breakfast.
Thanks, Fran, thanks for having me.
Emily, a long life needs a large wallet. Let's start with superannuation. Is this the number one concern, really, that many people just won't have saved enough money for retirement with a long life ahead?
Yeah, that's right, Fran. It's one of the big concerns. I think it's both private savings and also our public age pension system. In terms of superannuation, our analysis in this report has shown that for women...
Emily, I'm just losing you there. I'm not sure. Have you just moved or...?
No, is that all right?
Try again. Keep going, yeah.
Okay. Our analysis has shown in this report, Fran, that for a female retiring today at age 65... she'll have about $20,000 underneath what is required for a comfortable standard of living for each year of her retirement. Coupled with that is the fact that our pension system was designed at a time when our lives were at least 25 years shorter than what they are now.
So the issues there are a couple, really. One is you might think you've got enough saved for a comfortable retirement, but your superannuation savings might just run out if they've got to stretch longer.
Correct.
And also that the pension system will have to be supporting, paying out pensions for a lot longer because we're living a lot longer, and that's going to be a major drag on the economy, even one perhaps more than we're calculating so far.
Correct. And at the moment, the pension is increasing at about 2% every 6 months. And that's okay when it's in proportion to a growth rate that has been quite strong. But when growth is potentially in decline and public finances are under strain, then that presents certain challenges. And particularly when people are living longer, but also we have a burgeoning over 65 population. About 25% of us will be over 65, eligible for the pension by 2050.
Before we go to those challenges presented by all of this, can we just quantify the problem? What's the data telling us about how much longer we're living, and if we project forward, how much longer we're going to be living by 2050?
Yeah, sure. So, as you said, the life expectancy statistics, which just came out from the ABS this month, have shown that we're living longer than ever before. And in the 12 months to 2013, life expectancy for males and females have gone up about 3 months every year. So that's the sort of rate of increase that you're looking at.
That's significant, isn't it? 3 months every year, we're living longer.
That's correct. And not just that, the average life expectancies that you get from the ABS are based on past mortality rates. So if people are continuing to live longer, if mortality is improving as it has been, then average life expectancy may in fact grow much more.
And in your paper, you say basically if policy doesn't catch up with this reality, we're looking at the, quote, demographic climate change of our time. And I think what you mean is perhaps catastrophic reactions or fallout. But when you say if policy doesn't catch up with this reality, what policy needs to change? What is suggesting? Because governments have been looking at this. Peter Costello put out that demographic report all that time ago when he was treasurer. We've known this demographic time bomb is sitting here. Governments have been trying to adjust policy to deal with it, haven't they?
They have been. I think that with this new government, there are some concerning steps backward, however. The Panel for Positive Ageing, which was only 6 months out from releasing its report on how to take advantage of an ageing society, was scrapped. We no longer have a Minister for Ageing to be looking at these issues. So they're two concerning parts in this story. I think that in terms of the policies that governments need to be looking at, it's really across the full gamut of income protection and super, health and aged care, and also how older people participate in society. Mm.
Yeah, that's the three headings, isn't it? Superannuation, aged care facilities, how we build enough of them, and how we build appropriate ones, and how we maintain quality and access, and how, perhaps primary amongst this, how we extend the working age beyond 65, or let alone beyond 65, beyond 50 for many people who find it hard to get back into the workforce. That's the one we've been struggling with for a long time.
That's right. The labour force participation among over 65s has actually been increasing since about the mid-90s, and in fact during and after the GFC. But when people around the sort of age of 45, 50 go out of the workforce, they find it very difficult to get back into it.
So what are your solutions on that front? Because as I say, I can think of at least three governments who've struggled to deal with this, working out how to end discrimination, if you like, in the workforce in terms of age.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is for a government to take discrimination among the ageing as a key issue and to be working on a publicity campaign for that. Susan Ryan at the Human Rights Commission has done some great work around this area. It needs to be picked up and publicised, both through the government and through the media.
And beyond that, and as I say, it seems to be an intractable problem. People have been trying to publicise it for a long time. Governments have too in the past. But beyond that, the notion of trying to get enough aged care places and high quality places and different models of aged care is expensive. Seems to me that a lot of the items on your list come back to the notion of higher taxation.
Yeah. And look, it's higher taxation, high progressive taxation, is not a sell that either government are going to want to make to the electorate.
What sort of increased taxation are you talking about?
So, for example, and it's something which we will be exploring in our report, which our project, which is going over 2 years, are things like looking at negative gearing as one area of taxation which could be adapted.
What, getting rid of it or...?
Oh, I don't think we'd be suggesting that yet, and okay. It's something which we haven't looked at in detail at this point in time.
Okay. Emily Mullane, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Fran.
Emily Mullane is a research fellow with the think tank Per Capita and author of the report Still Kicking, Longevity and Ageing in Australia, which is really kicking off, as you just told us, there, a 2-year research project to develop different policy ideas to feed into this intractable issue, really. It's not going away. It's a demographic time bomb. 16 minutes to 7.